This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau or Te Pōti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Tokuingoa, my name's Anna and I'm the manager here at CAB in Dunedin. So, yep, CABS. So our core service is to help you know, understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues, and to ensure you can access the services you are entitled to. We give you free help, advice and information about absolutely anything. We like to educate and empower people to have the confidence to take action themselves, you know, with our guidance. And importantly, we are independent of any government agency and anything we talk to you about remains completely confidential. So we regularly get inquiries about wills, and yes, so not having a will complicates your affairs after you die, and there might be many reasons that you may not have one, because of cost concerns, sort of an unwillingness to plan for death. Not leaving a will is almost certain to leave behind problems for your family. So it's very important to take the time to draft a will, regardless of your age or your financial position or your marital status. You've just got to break through that fear barrier and get the will sorted, because it will, you know, it will have positive results for those that you care about. If you don't have a will, your assets in your estate will be distributed in accordance with a set formula under the Administration Act. And so, you know, therefore what you intend may not be what the Act says. And the people that you would like to have left something to may find themselves excluded. So various reasons why you should have a will. If you have tamariki or children under 18, a will lets you appoint a guardian. That means if something happens to you, it's very clear who you want to take care of your children. Without a will, the court may need to make that decision and it might not be the person that you would have chosen. If you're another reason you should have one is if you're in a de facto relationship. So if you're not married, but you've lived with your partner for 3 years or more, and they die without a will, you can apply for a division of relationship property under the Property Relationships Act, but actually this can be complicated and a will makes things much clearer and helps avoid disputes. However, even with a will, the Property Relationship Act can override it in some cases. So another reason why you should have a will is that you have got married and you've had children, or you've got divorced since you last wrote a will. You know, big life events like those can change what you'd want to happen to your stuff. So it's a good idea to update your will any time something significant changes. If you have pets, you should have a will. Legally, pets are classed as chattels, which is personal property that is movable, like furniture or cars. And you can't leave pets money, therefore. But you can leave them to someone and provide money to help with their care. So a lot of New Zealanders are now including their pets in their wills, especially those who don't have children or those whose children live overseas. So it's a good way to make sure the pets in your whānau are looked after. Another reason you should have a will is if you want a specific type of funeral. So you can use your will to say how you want your tangihanga or funeral to be done. If you want to be buried in a particular urupa or cemetery, if you want a certain waiata or song played, this helps your whānau and friends do what you would have wanted. Another reason to have a will is that you want to decide who gets what. If you die without a will, the Administration Act decides who gets your stuff. That means that property goes to someone who you wouldn't have chosen or misses someone out completely. For example, you don't want a whānau or family member who may be a bit of a bully to get a share of your house. So a will puts you in control. Another reason is if your assets aren't all jointly owned. So jointly owned property, like a house with your partner, usually goes to the surviving owner, but anything else in your name, like bank accounts, KiwiSaver or cars, goes through your estate. And without a will, it's much longer and harder process for your whānau to sort out. So how to make a will? Well, there are a few ways to make a will in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so we're going to go through them. First one is with a professional trustee company like Perpetual Guardian or Public Trust. So they offer will-making services similar to that of a lawyer. And a representative of the company meets with you, establishes your background, and you will work together to complete the will to represent your intentions. The difference is that these companies are specialists in wills and estate planning, and that they have representation and or branches all over New Zealand. So what you'd make an appointment, talk through your wishes with a specialist, they'll write up the will for you, they give you a copy and they keep the original in a secure storage. It usually costs around, I don't know, $400, $500 for a simple will. But you've got to, with trustee companies, you've got, this is really important, you have to make sure you check the fine print, because some trustee companies require that they be appointed as the executor. So they're the ones that you're going to end up having to pay, or your state's going to have to pay to sort your will out. So those fees will come at a later date. It's very important. Check that there are no restrictions or requirements that the trustee company is named as the executor. You should be allowed to appoint anyone as the executor of your will. Some of them will let you name a friend or family member as an executive, but you've always got to ask. So the pros of using a trustee company is that they do specialise in wills and estate planning. They offer legal protection because they'll have indemnity insurance if there's any errors made by them. And they provide secure long-term storage of your will. But the negatives would be that you'll have to pay an upfront fee and you may be required to appoint them as executor, and executive fees will apply later if they are in charge of your estate. So your second option for a will is a lawyer. The process is similar to the trustee company. Again, lawyers are experts and give you specific guidance for your situation. But regardless of what you decide to do, if you do decide to contact a lawyer, the best approach is to email a few and specify what issues you want to focus on, and then you will then receive quotes for the work required. Again, you just meet them, they write the will when they keep the original, cost around the same amount, up to $500 for a simple will. You can name any person as the executor. If you have no one suitable, your lawyer can act in that role, but there will be fees. If you decide to get a lawyer to write up a will for you, but you always prepare as much as you can before you meet. You could write down what you want your will to cover and prepare a list of all your assets, and that will save you time and money. So again, that would be good if your situation is more complex, like a blended family, property overseas, business ownership. Again, you're protected if something goes wrong through their insurance, and you can still appoint a family member or a friend. The negatives of using a lawyer is that it'll cost you up to $500, between $400 and $500 for a simple will, and executive fees will apply if they're in charge of your estate. So your third option is you do it yourself or online wills. So if your situation's very straightforward, you can write up your own will. You can purchase a printed write-your-own form from some stationery retailers, or you can use an online will service. Some of these online services cater for more complex situations or include reviewing your draft to make sure the template has been completed correctly. Some online will services are available from for example, Lawhawk, which is www.lawhawk.nz, and then look under documents for sale. Footprint is another one, www.myfootprint.co.nz. And there's another website that a few lawyers here in Dunedin are involved in, Agreeable Me, Agreeable, agreeable.co.nz/wills. Yep. And you can pay to get all on Agreeable Me. You can draft it all up yourself and then just pay to get the lawyer to check it. So these online services give you the benefit of considering your needs in detail without the hourly expense of a lawyer. The cost of a do-it-yourself will service varies widely depending on the provider and the complexity of your will. But if you only need a basic will, you could do it for as little as $20, and that's the stationary retailer option. And I know here Whitcools does sell them. You do not have to use a lawyer if you write up your own will, but it is worth paying a lawyer to check it before you get it signed and witnessed. Any mistakes in the will could later lead to problems with the granting of probate or a challenge to the legal validity of your will, and that can be really costly and time-consuming for your family. And do-it-yourself and online ones is not really recommended if you have a blended family, if you have children from previous relationships, if you own property or assets overseas, if you have a trust or a business, and if you think your will might be challenged or contested. But they are affordable. That's the pro. Little as $20. Some platforms let you appoint your own executor and it's quick to set up. The negatives would be that there's no legal backup if something goes wrong, and it is easy to make mistakes that can create expensive problems for your whānau later. So some other things to think about. Storing and protecting your will. Make sure you store it in a secure place and tell the executor and your close family members where it is. If anything happens to your will or if your executor doesn't know where to find it, it's the same as not having a will at all. To avoid that problem, you need to decide where to keep your will and then inform your executor as to where it is. Never keep your will in your bank's safety deposit box. The bank cannot open the box until it receives probate, which is permission from the executor to begin administering your affairs. And probate cannot be granted without the will, meaning a horrible catch-22 situation. Your will should not be locked away in a vault, but instead accessible without complication. Never attach other documents to your will with staples, paperclips, or anything else. Doing so will leave a mark on the will, and it will raise questions about whether the will is missing a section, or it's an amendment that should have been there, or an appendix is gone. And that'll drag out the job of the executor, who may need to contact witnesses, you know, to establish the authenticity of the will. So a will must be a numbered document without any additional pages. The best place to keep a will is the one that is the safest and the most appropriate for your needs. Leave it with a lawyer. You know, these are the options. Leave it with a lawyer. If the lawyer writes you a will, they'll usually store it free of charge, but check to make sure. They will also give you your own copy. If the lawyer didn't write your will, there'll probably be a fee charged up front to store it. But storing the will with the lawyer protects you, as every lawyer has indemnity, like if they have an accident and it destroys the will. The other option is to keep it with a professional trustee company. If you value security and availability, the public trustee companies can offer additional security with easy access, routine data backups, and free phone helplines. You can keep your will in your own possession with your own personal documents, lock it in a safe, or anywhere you want, but make sure the executor knows where it is and how to access it. Keeping your will personally has the advantage of being free, but it's risky in that you may accidentally throw it away, damage it, or misplace it. You can include a statement. Something else to consider is that you can include a statement of wishes with your will, which is a document that accompanies your will. There's a way of further explaining or personalising your will. The document is addressed to your executor and to anyone else you instruct to share it with. either in full or just parts of it. It's not a legal document. So if you want to ensure that certain personal possessions go to certain beneficiaries, this should be dealt with in your will. You can use your statement of wishes to explain the beneficiaries' gifts and guardians in your will, distribute minor gifts and possessions, leave instructions about your organ donation, your funeral, your burial, and leave personal messages. Important terms you should know, which we've already mentioned. So the executor is the person who, or the authorised statutory company, like a trustee company, who is appointed in a will to administer and distribute the willmaker's estate according to the instructions in the will. The executor should ideally have common sense and the ability to act in accordance with the will at all times. The executor can also be a beneficiary. And the beneficiary is a person or a legal entity who receives money or other benefits in your will. So the recipient of a particular amount of money or an item of property. Another term to know is probate, which is a court order recognising a will as authentic and confirming that the executor has the legal authority to deal with a deceased's estate. Probate is required only when a single asset in the estate is valued at more than $15,000. The probate procedure covers all assets. You don't need to apply for probate for each asset. If you have young children, a will is the most powerful legal tool you have to ensure they are looked after in the event of your death. As we mentioned earlier, if both you and your partner die, a will is the only way to appoint a guardian and set aside money or assets for their future. Similar to appointing your executor, be sure to ask for permission from your intended guardian. Taking on the responsibility of looking after children is significant, so an upfront agreement will avoid issues later on. However, if you appoint someone inappropriate as your children's guardian, a family member may challenge it, and the family court will either uphold or deny your wishes. So, what should your will cover? Well, it should include the following information. The name of the person you have, or persons you have appointed to manage the distribution of your belongings, which is your estate. Whether you want to be buried or cremated, donate body parts, or have specific funeral instructions. But remember to tell your family before they read the will, because it will be too late. The name of the person or persons that you have appointed as guardians for your children. What else should be in it? Instructions on how your assets should be distributed to your partner, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, charities, etc. The names of people you want to receive items, such as family heirlooms, mementos, art, your flash electric push bike. Instructions for digital assets. It's always good to cover it, is, you know, social media accounts, etc. And a statement revoking any previous wills. And you may also consider granting a life interest in your will. So a life interest allows someone the right to use property for the rest of their life, but they do not become the owner. After their death, the property passes to the executor or the trustee. Examples of why you might include a life interest. So if you have children from a previous relationship, a life interest could allow your spouse to continue living in the house after your death, while ensuring your children will inherit it later. If you and your spouse own a house as tenants in common, each spouse can grant the other life interest in their share, improving the surviving spouse's eligibility for a residential care subsidy. Conditions and alternatives. Your will can provide for a right to occupy instead of a life interest. A right to occupy expires before the death of the surviving spouse or family members. For example, you can give your spouse the right to occupy your house until they remarry or until your child turns 21. You can also put conditions on life interest, for example, that it ends if the person with life interest in your house does not keep it in good repair. If you think you might need your will to include a life interest provision, contact the lawyer who drew up your will or another lawyer who specializes in family law. So what makes your will legally valid? Well, it must be in writing, must be witnessed by two people who are not beneficiaries of the will, must be signed by the witnesses in your presence, and it must be signed by you, the will maker. When you witness a will, you are simply witnessing that you saw the will maker sign their will. You are not responsible for the content of the will and are not witnessing that the will is correctly drafted or is legally valid. It's important that the witnessing is done properly to avoid problems with the will at a later date. So you cannot witness the will if you're a beneficiary, like I said. If you don't personally know the will maker, ask to see some photo ID to confirm they are the person named on the will. You and the other witness and the will maker must all be present together and watch each other sign the document. The will maker can alter their will before signing, but the will maker and both witnesses must sign or initial in the margin or near the alteration. You should all use the same pen because this reinforces the fact that the will was signed and witnessed when all three people were together. And you should sign each page of the will, and that also reinforces that the separate pages are all part of the same document. And the will should be dated at the time of signing. Remember, if you plan to use a paid service, it's important to prepare as much as you can beforehand, understand your rights, and know how this process works. So what happens if you die without a will? Well, you're said to have died intestate, and the law will determine who is entitled to share your estate under Section 77 of the Administration Act, 1969.
What's that? Who's that?
Do you need a will if you have no assets? Yes, even if you don't have any assets, it's still important to have a will. Because you might own more than you realise. And without your will, your loved ones may face uncertainty and potential debt. So if a couple is not contracted out of the Property Relationship Act, e.g. through a separation agreement, the surviving spouse can choose to claim under the Act or according to the partner's will.
That was in the email. You might have seen that one.
But still good to have a will.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Grounds for challenging a will that can be contested if the will is invalid and also under the Family Protection Act and if under the Property Relationship Act and law reform. Oh, you can challenge a will on the grounds that the deceased had promised they were going to provide for you in their will in return for work or services. So you're under the Family Protection Act, you can challenge it if the deceased did not fulfil their moral obligation to provide for a close family member. So how long before beneficiaries receive their share of the estate? Well, once probate or letters of administration are granted, the executor or administrator must allow at least 6 months up to 12 months before distributing the estate. This period allows for the resolution of claims, including creditors' claims. That's any money owed by the deceased, because they must be settled before distribution. And will challenges. If someone challenges the will, they must do this within 12 months. The claim must be resolved in the High Court, which can delay distribution by months or even years. So next month, we will discuss the role of the executor and also look at enduring powers of attorney, which is something else to consider when you make your will. So CAB New Zealand has recently released a spotlight report on death and dying, which is supporting clients with issues relating to death and dying because it's a common area that we get. In our analysis of this, are highlighted common themes. And the report also explored the barriers that present for clients and offers solutions and pathways to address for such as simplifying information, encourage planning, provide a centralised will depository, publicly fund a will and an EPA service, reduce costs and complexity of dealing with estates, and adjust small estate thresholds, and ensure low-cost burial and cremation options, and improve the grants offered by work and income. You can read this report on our website, www.cab.org.nz, along the yellow ribbon under the tab, What We Do, and then go down to Social Justice. So we cannot write a will for you or provide templates or kits. However, we can help you think through what to include in your will and offer guidance on how to prepare and execute it. And remember, we have a number of articles on what we've been talking about tonight, about how to make a will, what it should cover, etc. What is a life interest? And you can contact us about any of this stuff on 471-6166 or visit our website. And our IRs are Monday to Thursday, 10 to 4, and Friday, 10 to 1. Ngā mihi kia koutou for tuning in this evening, and Otago Access Radio for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a good evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.